Chapter 2. Everybody there? All right. Well, just to remind you, since last week we didn't have our study, just to remind you, Ezekiel had not a vision, but he actually saw the Lord, the glory of the Lord, he told us. There by the river Chebar, by the city Tel Aviv, and we learned not the city in Israel called Tel Aviv, but the city over there in modern day Iraq. Back then it would have been called the Babylonian kingdom, Babylon. The city just above the city of Babylon, northeast a bit, is this city of Tel Aviv on the river Chebar, which is really a tributary or an offshoot of the great Euphrates. So, he saw the glory of the Lord. And remember, he described in pretty good detail the angels, the four angels. But it came to the Lord, he couldn't look upon the Lord. He didn't give us a great description because he couldn't do that. No man shall see God and live. So I'm sure you remember all that. I'm just trying to bring you back up to speed. Well, finally, in verse 28 of chapter 1, he says this, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud, the rainbow in the cloud, in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So that's where we left off. After he described all of this to us, he looks upon the glory of God and is so glorious that he falls down. Notice he doesn't fall backwards, fainting out of control, but he falls down forward in worship and in reverence. Well, here's what the voice said. We start chapter 2. He said unto me, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, and he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spoke unto me. I think that you will find commonly those who really reverence or are in the presence of the living God, you will find commonly that they don't fall down in fainting fashion, but they fall down in worship, knowing that they're falling down in worship because he's so holy. And you'll notice that God stands them up. Take a look at Moses. Take a look at Daniel. Take a look at Ezekiel. Take a look at John. And you'll notice that God stands them up, quite different than what we see taking place today in many places. He says, the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet. You will notice that God does that when those fall before him in worship. Of course, he might mention something like this to Moses, take your shoes off, because the place where you're standing is holy ground. In other words, he is a holy, righteous, powerful God. And Ezekiel recognizes that. He can't describe him to you because all he can really see, he says, here's what I saw. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. I couldn't look directly at him, but I saw his glory. Moses said, I want to see you. God said, you can't, but I'll let you see my glory. And remember, put him in that cleft there between the rock. And as God passed by, the Bible says he put his hand up. That's an anthropomorphic term, meaning he blocked the way so that Moses couldn't see. And as he was passed, taking his hand down, Moses could see his glory. And it was so bright that Moses glowed in the dark himself. So here we've got Ezekiel on his face in worship and in awe. And the Spirit of the Lord enters into me, he says, when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, that I heard him that spoke unto me. Now notice, And this is important. I don't think I'm making this up. You read through it yourself. Make sure when you go home, you read through it and see. But I see something here. The Spirit entered into me, he says, giving him the strength, lifting him up. The Holy Spirit. And I heard him that spoke to me. Notice here, when God calls you to do a job, he gives you the strength to do that job. Notice that? I've got something for you to do, Ezekiel. Stand up. But yet, Ezekiel didn't stand up on his own. The Spirit of God entered into him, and he had the strength to stand. God has never yet called you to serve him and then stood back and watched. Oh, watch this. Watch. They can't even walk. Watch. No, when God calls me, when God calls you, when God calls us to whatever the task is, whether it's long-term task or just the task for right now, God gives us the strength to do it. When when the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, he was a pretty tough dude. Remember? But he wasn't that way in his everyday life. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. When God calls you to do a job, he strengthens you for that job. When God calls you to an assignment, he gives you what you need for that assignment. Whatever it is it wisdom? Is it supernatural gifting? Whatever it is, God gives it to you. Those of you who have been walking with the Lord a little while, you know that, don't you? Because you have prayed. Lord, I was talking to someone just the other day who teaches elementary school students. And she said, I just pray before I go into the classroom. Lord, give me today the energy that I need. And give me the words that I can communicate so they will grasp what I'm trying to communicate, whether it's arithmetic or whether it's whatever it is, spelling. And the students just think she's the greatest teacher on the earth. Well, so I'm sure she studied. I know guys and girls who teach, and I know they study hard, but understand that God gives them the abilities to do these things. So when God called Moses, Moses had a lot of excuses why you shouldn't have chosen him. He doesn't give them to you. He gives them all to God. God said, I'm going to send you. Moses said, you've got the wrong guy. I'm telling you, you've made a mistake here. I can't do this. I am a man slow of speech and slow of tongue, meaning he had a stuttering problem. Didn't have it until he was 80. Didn't have it when he was working over there in Egypt at around 40, but he had a stuttering problem. And he said, I can't do this. I can't go and talk to Pharaoh. I mean, he'd laugh at me. And God simply just said, who made your tongue? Oh, okay. But how about this? I'm not smart enough. Who gave you that brain? Well, yeah, but why would they listen to me? I'm nobody. Because I'm sending you. They will listen to you. Well, how can I prove that? Throw your rod down on the ground. Put your hand into your breast, inside your jacket, and pull it back out again. Remember, it was leprous, and then it turned to a stick. You remember all that. God is saying, look, I'm right here. I'm giving you everything you need to go get this job done. Now go. But I can't. God finally said, all right, we'll send Aaron with you. Sissy. I added that part. God was angry, a little upset that Moses didn't want to do it. I'm giving you all that you need. Go do it. I can't. We're learning. And you'll see it here. God's work can only be done through God's Holy Spirit. God's work can only be done through his power. That's what Jesus means in the Gospel of John when he says, without me, you can do nothing. That's exactly what he means. You say, I can still tie my shoes. I can still drive my car. What do you mean without you, I can do nothing? I can go to work. I can earn a living. No, the truth is, anything that's going to last, anything that will be for eternity, anything that will really be for the kingdom and for the glory of God, Jesus says, without me, you can't do it. And here, Ezekiel couldn't have stood on his feet. The Spirit strengthens him. Stand up. He says, and I heard him speak. All we really need to do is simply acknowledge that in our own strength, we can't do anything. Once we're willing to do that, God will use us. He will. Verse 3 says, and he said to me, or unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee to them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. Oh, my goodness. These people that I'm going to send you to are rebellious. They're rebels. They won't cooperate. You've seen those because if you've been around people, there's always the one or the two. When the crowd is doing this, you've got the one or the two off in the corner. You think, what are they doing? What are they about? You know, you get a group together. It doesn't matter whether it's children or teens or adults. You'll find that there's always some that are out there doing their own thing. And you think, all right, what are you doing? Well, you know, you go on a field trip and you got to watch all the people. But then there's the one or the two that you've got to really keep some pressure on. What's that all about? They're rebellious. It's rebellion, the Bible says, is bound in the heart of a child. That means all of us are born that way. Because even you were a kid once, remember? Well, they are stiff-hearted. That means in our language, hard-hearted. Cruel and very stubborn. They won't listen. They don't care. They're not interested. And that's who I'm going to send you to. My goodness, go back a book or two and you'll see that's who Isaiah got sent to. Same group. Isaiah got sent. God says, who can we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah had just been cleansed. And Isaiah said, I'm right here. Send me. I'll go. And God said, okay. It was a setup. Okay. But I just want to warn you, you'll go. They will not listen. They will not want to hear what you've got to say because they don't want to listen to me. They won't listen to you. But you go. I'll send you to them. How long? He said, how long, Lord, will they not listen? Isaiah, you'll be dead and gone thousands of years. They still won't be listening. He says to Ezekiel, I'm going to send you to some of the hardest people on the planet. They are stiff-necked. They are stubborn. They're hard-hearted, they're cruel, they won't listen, they choose not to listen, they don't care, they're not interested. And I'd love to send you, Ezekiel. You know, I think you do, some of the hardest people to reach are those that have heard God's word over and over and over again. Some of the hardest people to deal with are those who think they are experts in God's word. Have you experienced that? Because they just want to fight about everything. You say the word Genesis means beginnings, and they go, oh, no, 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 no. Let me, and here it goes. Some of the hardest people to reach are people that go to church. These are God's children. These aren't people. I'm not sending you, he'll say in a moment, I'm not sending you to people that don't understand the language you're using. It's not like you're going some far off, bizarre missionary thing. I'm sending you to people that are right here that just don't care one way or the other. But I love them, so I'm going to send you anyway. See, they go to church. They try to be nice. You'll notice that. They try to live by all kinds of rules. And they'll tell you, it's very common to hear them say, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. I'm pretty good. I'm doing all right. That's who he's going to. Those people are hard to reach. They know all the answers. Pastor was counseling one time and counseling a couple that had been to his church for years and years and years. And he says to the lady, he says, well, God's word says in John chapter 21, and she goes, I know. And he says, well, you know, also, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about some issues. Oh, I know that. You know, 2 Peter. Oh, I know. And he looked at her and said, no, you don't. You may know what it says, but you have no idea what it means. You don't know. The hardest people are the ones that hear it over and over and over and don't do anything about it. They really don't care. The God says they are stubborn, hard-hearted, stiff-necked. They won't bend. They won't listen. They choose to look away. They're rebellious. Those are the ones that have an outward appearance. They're kind of like the Pharisees. Remember when Jesus said to the Pharisees, you look good outside. You're looking great on the outside. Inside, you're full of dead bones. But the outside is really clean and nice. You look like you belong in church. You look like you're really doing great, but the inside's miserable. They want their own way, is what the language teaches us here. Their own plans, their own wills to be accomplished. They are literally in rebellion. In other words, rebelling means against God's will. God says, here's my word, here's my will, and they say, no, we don't want it. That's why they're in captivity. Remember where Ezekiel is? He lives in Babylon now as a captive. Northeast a bit of the city of Babylon. Many, many Jews living there, serving as servants, as captives. That's who Ezekiel is being sent to. So I would encourage any of you, anyone at all, who feels called to the ministry. You say, I don't know. I'm thinking I feel a call to the ministry. I would encourage you to sit down first and count the cost. You watch, Ezekiel's going to do that. Not choosing whether he'll do it or not, but he's going to sit down, take a few deep breaths, and give it a little time, think about it before he dives right into it. Sit down and count the cost, because this is not going to be an easy assignment. Ezekiel's going to learn that through the book. This will not be easy. But keep in mind, if God has literally called you to it, it's the same thing for those of you who might think you're missionaries. It's the same thing for those of you who might think, I could teach a Bible study at my house, or I could teach a women's study, or I could teach a men's study, or I could teach a youth study, or I could teach a young adult study. Well, okay, great. If you're feeling called, sit down first and count the cost, because you will find many of those who will come are in rebellion to God and won't want to hear what you've got to say. And you'll be amazed at how they don't like the message. They will take it out on the messenger. Jeremiah found that out, didn't he? Isaiah was put inside a tree and sawn in half. They took a saw and just cut him in half. Jeremiah was stoned to death, first taken captive by his own people down into Egypt and then stoned to death. In other words, oh, Ezekiel, is this going to be fun? Verse 5 says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with you, And thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, or be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. You know, God seems to mention that a lot here in the first few. He must think they're rebellious, because he hasn't stopped saying that yet. And if anybody would know, you would think God must know. These are his children. These are the ones that he led out of the wilderness. These are the ones that he gave the promised land to. These are the ones that went through all the judges and that whole big mess. These are the ones that wanted a king and they got Saul. You remember that? These people, they're rebellious. Their fathers were rebellious. They're rebellious. It's it's inborn there. And God's sort of bringing that out. God says, whether the people listen to you or not, they are going to know that a prophet of God was among them. In other words, I'm going to use you. And you'll see Ezekiel do some interesting things. They'll know, even if they don't like it, they're going to know that a prophet of God was among them. When Ezekiel is gone, you will notice even the Jews today talk about him. Yes, he was a prophet of God. When Elijah is gone, they say, yes, he was a prophet of God. When Isaiah, when Daniel, yeah, although at the time, Jeremiah, although at the time they sure didn't want to hear some of these guys. Well, I'll make sure, God says, that they know that there is a prophet of God among them. Okay, I don't know how he's going to do it. Well, I do, but let's pretend. We don't know how he's going to do it, but he's given us his word, hasn't he? He says to Ezekiel, you go. Whether they listen or not, I will make sure that they know there's been a prophet of God among them. I'll do something. I'll make sure they know. That's God's word. That's his promise. So, son of man, by the way, Jesus uses that term about himself, 18 times, son of man. Son of man, he says, do not be afraid of them. Oh, my goodness. You've just seen a vision of angels, those four angels, the wings touching the whole square, the wheels, and remember all that? You're just as blown your mind. And then you saw the glory of the Lord, and you just fall down in worship. God strengthens you back up, fills you with his spirit, and says, oh, have I got a job for you. Man, oh man, this is going to be a tough job because they are rebellious. They will not listen. And even whether they listen or not, they're still going to know you came from me. And you know what? Don't be afraid. Would you be afraid? They'll be afraid of what? Hey, you don't have to tell Ezekiel. He lives with them. He knows these people. It's not like God's going to send him to some far off land. God's sending him right back into town. He lives there. There at Tel Aviv. There by the river Chebar. It's not like, watch this. Don't be afraid of them. And then God uses language to tell Ezekiel this. It's going to be painful. Oh, all right. Sign me up. I can hear Christians now. Oh, pain? Count me in. Yep, I'll go. I see people that are signing up for the military. Young people signing up wanting to go to Afghanistan and Iraq. And I'm hearing others go, what on the earth is wrong with them? There's something wrong with you. Why do you want to go there? Well, first of all, somebody's got to. Second of all, everybody's not a wimp, like many Americans have become. And so God says to Ezekiel, don't be a wimp. This is going to be hard. This is going to be painful, like scorpion stings. It's going to be painful. It's going to be dangerous. But God says, don't be afraid. Then he says, you speak my word to them, whether they choose to listen or whether they choose to not listen. You still speak my words. And it seems to me times haven't changed very much. Very impressed at how people do not want to hear the Bible. They just don't want to hear it. They're not convinced it's God's word anymore. They don't want to hear it. Tell us something else. Give us a good book to read on the subject. put us through a 12-step program of any kind? Have you got counselors we can pay? Because we need real help. And all you're giving us is the Bible. I'm telling you, people don't want to hear it today, just like they didn't want to hear it then. And what did God say? Ezekiel, it'll be painful. It'll be dangerous. It's going to be downright ugly. But you speak my word. What should we be preaching? What should we be teaching? All of us that belong to him. Without exception. No excuses. God's word. What do we want to teach? Something that attracts people. Something that builds our group, makes it bigger. Whether it's youth or children or young adults or old adults or middle aged, we want to attract them. User friendly. We want to make them feel comfortable. Oh, I don't want to offend you. We don't want you to think you're a sinner. We'd hate to mention that in the message because you'd get your feelings hurt. You'd go somewhere else. And God says, no, you speak my words. Verse 8. But thou son of man, listen to what I say, King James, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent to me, and lo, a roll of a book was thereon, a scroll therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, or that means on the front and on the back, inside and outside. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Ezekiel, don't be afraid. They're rebellious. They won't want to hear it. But I'm sending you anyway. It'll be painful. It'll be dangerous. It'll be discouraging. Don't be afraid. And don't be like them. I'm going to tell you to do something now that's going to look weird to you, Ezekiel, but I want you to do it anyway. And God stretches out his hand with a scroll, opens it up before him, says, eat this. Of course, you're going, I don't think I'm hungry. No, God says, no, don't be rebellious. Eat this. And he says, I read some of it as I looked at it. It was written inside and outside, front and back. There was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. Sounds like bad news. It's written on this thing. Not all of it, but some of it's bad news. And we go into chapter 3 and he says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak to the house of Israel. He says, don't be rebellious. Then I saw a hand stretched out toward me. And in that hand was a scroll. And the scroll opened up, and I could read some of it was on it. God's word opened up to him, and he was to eat it. It's God's word. And he was to eat that. And he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat it. Eat this roll and go speak to the house of Israel. In other words, God's word has got to get in you, Ezekiel, before you can give it out. So you eat my word, and then you go and speak it out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. So eat this. So, verse 2, I opened my mouth, he said, and he caused me to eat that roll, that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this scroll or this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. He's told to eat the roll. Eat the word of God and then go tell the people. He says it tasted sweet. He loved the word of God. It tasted sweet. The word of God should also become part of our lives. Just as it became a part of Ezekiel's life. It should become a part of ours. Now, let's admit it. Do we skip some times reading our Bible when we know we should read it? And God says, I want you to go speak to them. What do you want me to say? Eat this. You'll know just what to say. Take in God's word. Get it into your system. It needs to become a part of my life, your life. We need to meditate on it. The word meditate is not some new age, you know, and you're thinking and you go off onto Mars and you're walking around. No, the word meditate in our language would be the same idea as chewing cud. So just go out to the nearest farm, get close to a cow, and sit and watch them. They'll eat their lunch or their breakfast or dinner. They'll wander on off somewhere. And a few hours later, throw it back up. And do what? Just chew on it. Long time, real calm. More than 32 times. Just chew and chew. Hours. That's what the word meditate means. Chew the cud. So not only are we reading our Bibles, but we're ingesting, we're chewing on it, giving it some thought. What does he mean? The Lord is my shepherd. Does that mean I'm a sheep? What are sheep like? What do shepherds do? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You mean, if he's my shepherd, if God Almighty is my shepherd, I will never lack anything, ever? What is he saying? And you're chewing on it, aren't you? Just calmly chew. Watch cows. There's no hurry. They'll hours. They just chew. Camels spit, but cows, they kind of hang on to the whole thing. We should be eating God's word every day. It is really our spiritual food. If you don't love the word of God, you will not love the Lord himself. You know that, don't you? If you and I don't love the Word of God, we will not love the Lord. Because, see, it's his Word. It speaks of His plan, His purpose, His will, His power, His guidance, His Son. You would think that we would want to get every bit of it that we could, and that you would think that we couldn't get enough of it. But we get plenty of it, don't we? Yeah, I read my Bible this week. Get off my back. But remember, reading, meditating, and then James says, don't kid yourself. Do it. Remember in the counseling session, James chapter 5 says, I know. No, you don't. Not if you're not doing it. You don't know. You may have it in your head, but it's not in your heart. It's not a part of what you are. It needs to be eaten. Ezekiel, eat this. Chew it up. Let it get down into your system. He goes, it was pretty sweet. You know, he liked God's word, but of course, some parts are a little harder to swallow than others. Look at verse 4. And he said to me, this is after he had eaten the word of God, the scroll. He said to me, son of man, go, get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Notice, first he took it in, now he's got something to give out. As you and I spend time in the presence of the Lord, spend time in His Word, you will notice that His Word comes out. You will be surprised that it does. At the strangest times, you'll gather together with somebody and you're going to have a cup of coffee or do a soda, or maybe you're just going to grab a burger, and you'll sit there and you'll read something on the cup. And you go, oh man, that reminds me of John 3:16. And they'll go, you are so weird. No, it comes out. It just comes out. It starts coming out all the time. Because what's in the well of the heart comes out the bucket of the mouth, right? Jesus says, what's in your heart comes out. So he says this. Son of man, verse 4, go, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. You've just eaten my words. Now go speak to them. For you are not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Ezekiel is not sent way on over to Russia, where he's got to see if he can find a translator and see if he could come up with illustrations that they can comprehend. When I, the very first time when I went into Africa, illustrations were hard. After you've been there a few times, you catch on. But illustrations are hard because they don't understand surfing or skiing. They don't ride a lot of motorcycles. I mean, you're out in the jungle and you're looking for some illustrations and a lot of them don't work. It's not like I'm sending you to some far off place where your illustrations aren't going to make sense. I'm sending you to people who you speak their language. You were born into that language. You were raised in it. So he says, you know, even though they won't listen, it's not like there's a language barrier. You want to go to the children of Israel. We talk about missions. And missions are good, and we should be missions-minded. But I'm convinced that the one place that's being ignored is America. Although we see more and more people coming to this country on missionary visas from Africa, from China, from England, from around the planet, people are coming to evangelize America. You know why, don't you? Because America needs it desperately, needs the Word of God. It's just amazing. Well, I'll send you to your own people. And Ezekiel could have said, that's not very exciting. I'm already here with my own people. Want me to really bust out and do I got my Chaldean going pretty good. I'm going to just go ahead and start a whole Bible study for Babylonians. I mean, we're right here in their neighborhood. This would be a great way to reach them. You know what you need to do? Reach your own people first, Ezekiel. They won't listen. They're rebellious, hard-hearted, stubborn. You've got my word. Go give it out to the people that are mine. Oh, my goodness. He says, verse 6, not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have listened to you. I mean, you know, does God have a sense of humor? If I was sending you some off to Russia, they'd listen. I've been in Russia, and you know that if you start talking about Jesus on a street corner, within 5 to 10 minutes, you have 200 people standing there wanting to hear the rest of what you've got to say. In America, you get arrested. You get 200 people on the street corner, you're in big trouble. You better have a permit, or you're going downtown. And God says, you know, if I sent you to some far-off land where they didn't understand your language, they'd be all ears. They'd want to hear it, but I'm sending you to my people. But the house of Israel, notice in verse 7, Ezekiel's been warned, the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. There he said it again. I'm sending you to a people that will not listen to what you've got to say. Why? Because you're going to be saying my word. They won't listen to me, therefore they will not listen to you, but I'm sending you. They are a stubborn bunch, is what he says. Their hearts are hard. They just don't care. They're only interested in themselves and in their own desires. But I'm sending you. Notice, if you will, mercy. Look at the kindness of God. He could have said, I've been telling you for the last 1,000 years. I'm tired of telling you. We're going to go, Ezekiel, let's go. We're going to go talk to the Moabites. Maybe they'll listen. You notice God could at any moment give up and say, that's it. But he says, Ezekiel, I'm sending you to my children. But they won't listen to you. How do I know? Because they won't listen to me. Didn't he say the same thing to Isaiah? They won't listen to you. Why? Because you'll be speaking my word. And they don't want to hear my word. Verse 8. Behold, and now this is just great. And God knows. Look how he knows us as humans. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Notice twice God has told him they are going to give you dirty looks. That's the second time that they're going to give you dirty. Not only are they going to say mean things, but they're going to make sure you know they don't like you. Now, any of you that have ever taught Bible study have seen those faces, haven't you? Anybody that's ever taught a Bible study, when you sit in front, you'll see the person that's down there going, idiot. You know, they're not saying it out loud, but they're communicating it to you so that you know how they're feeling. They're making sure that they've got the looks. You know the looks. I mean, you've seen them. You can't let that stop you from teaching. You can't let that stop you from communicating. That's what it's designed to do. He says, Ezekiel, they're going to look at you ugly. So I'm going to give you a harder head than them. They're hard-headed. He said they were. They're stiff-necked. They are stubborn. They are hard-headed. I'm going to give you a harder head. I'm going to make your head harder than flint. Make you solid rock there, buddy. So when you beat heads, when you bump heads with them, your head will be harder. Headbutt. You go give them the word. You go speak my word. I'm going to make your head really hard. That's cool. I like it. Oh, they've got some hard heads, he says. They've got some hard heads, but I'll make yours harder. Now listen, you're misunderstanding if you're thinking Ezekiel's going to be more stubborn than them. Stubbornness is a sin. It would be wrong for him to do. God is rebuking them for being stubborn. He's not giving him a stubborn streak. He's not giving him some kind of holier than thou. I'm smarter than you, and so I can whip you in any argument. He's giving him an unwavering commitment. Well, the word you and I could use again is, if you want, determination. They will be determined to not listen. You will be more determined to speak. The less they'll want to hear it, the more you'll speak it out. It's a determination there. It's not a sin. It's not an attitude problem. It's just, we've got to teach God's word. We're going to teach it. We're not going to stop. Ezekiel, that's what they want you to do. But that's not what you're going to do. I'm going to give you a harder head than theirs. I'll make yours an unwavering commitment. I'll give you a harder head than flint. Not only will Ezekiel not be afraid of these carnal Christians, but his head will be much harder than theirs. Notice, Ezekiel will never give up, and Ezekiel will never quit. You will see it. Through the rest of his ministry, he will not give up. He will never quit. I think when you're called, and it's a true calling, you ask the Lord to give me the determination. Because we should never give up. Oh yeah, it gets hard. It's easy. It'd be easy to quit and go do something else. Anything else. That'd be easy. But what are you called to do, Ezekiel? You know, he could quit and just go on down and preach to the Babylonians. Or he could just keep his mouth shut and say, it's just too hard and all it is stirring up trouble. But no, the guy's never going to stop. You'll see. They are going to try to drive him out, but he will not go. They're going to try to shut him up, but he will not stop. It's not a stubbornness. It's not an attitude problem. It's a commitment. And God says, I'll strengthen you that way. It's a gifting he's been given by the power of the Holy Spirit to hang in there and to keep going. Well, look at verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Notice, it's got to get into my heart, into my life, that I might communicate it back out. It's got to get into Ezekiel's heart, into his mind, into his life. And go, verse 11, get thee to them of the captivity and to the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Again, to do this job right, to do this calling and this job right, Ezekiel has to listen carefully to the heart of God first. He has to listen carefully to know God's word so that he can then speak it back, so that he can communicate. Get it into your own head, into your own heart, and then speak it out. You want to teach a Bible study, you say? Well, then get it into your own head, into your own heart, so that it is logical and it makes sense and the Lord has spoken to you. Then you can communicate it back out to whoever wants to learn. And the Holy Spirit will teach them, right? That's what he's saying. So to do it right, Ezekiel must listen carefully and take to heart God's word. He's got to be in the word of God himself. He must know what God is saying, and he's got to know what God is meaning. That's what Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15. Many of you probably have that scripture memorized. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What he's telling Timothy is, you need to know it to communicate it. So, Pastor Timothy, you study to show yourself approved to who? All the people. They'll think you're smart. No. What does it say? Show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You and I should study God's word so that we're not ashamed before the Lord. In other words, here's what God's word says. Here's what he's meaning. So much false doctrine has gone around this nation, continues to go around this nation, and you and I are responsible to recognize it for what it is. We are responsible. Not just me by myself. I am responsible, but so are you. You are responsible to recognize false doctrine. How are you going to do that? We'll go through the Bible together verse by verse, but it might take us 7 to 12 to 15 years. You could do it faster than that on your own. As a matter of fact, a simple program, you can read through the Bible every year, in a year. It doesn't take a lot. But you and I are responsible. He says, some will listen and some will not. Let's just put that in our language. Some will obey and some will not. That's exactly what God is saying. If they're going to listen to what I'm telling them, they're going to then begin to obey. Is basically what he's saying. Some will obey, some won't. Take a look at today. Look at us. Some will obey and some won't. Some will obey certain parts and then completely ignore others. That's kind of a tendency that each one of us as human beings has. Well, that doesn't affect me that much. I don't bother. But when it starts getting close to home, well, we say things like, well, that I struggle with that. And that's the Christian term for, I don't know if I want to do that or not. I struggle there. In other words, I haven't really given up on this. I'm still a little stubborn in that area. You know, and when you start to say, well, I want to do that, but I'm not sure I'm ready, that lets you know God is speaking to your heart. God is saying, get ready. Ezekiel, get ready. Because some will listen and some will not. Some will obey, some will not. Verse 12 says, then the Spirit took me up. And I heard behind me a voice of great rushing saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures. Remember those living beings, those living angels that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. The Spirit took Ezekiel, transported him, carried him away. He says, I heard the movement of the wings. That's from chapter 1. You can go back and read that, those angels. And of course, right away, you notice the angels are shouting out, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. There's worship in the presence of the Lord. Ezekiel says, and as they were taking me, notice he says something, I went in bitterness. Of course, he talked about a little bit about eating it. The word of God was sweet, but now some of the things God's saying to him, churning him up a little. When he says, I went in bitterness, the word you and I would use, as I went, there was a churning in my heart. There was an unrest. You've probably felt that. Something is bugging me. Something's not right. And he also says, well, basically, I wasn't settled. And in the heat of my spirit. Now, the way you and I would say that today is, I was angered. It made me angry to know that God wanted to tell his people, to do things for his people, to get his word out, but the people refused to hear it. He said, it was bugging me. It just churned me up inside, kind of making me a little angry. People wouldn't listen to God. But he says, the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. God had a hold of me. You always want that. You'll find one of the a part of love, or a fruit of the Spirit, I guess, let's say it that way, is love, which consists of, and you get a list. One of those things is self-control. In the Spirit of the Lord, sometimes you get really upset at the things that you see, at the things some people are doing, but you have the ability to not explode. You have the ability to give it to the Lord. In other words, the Lord's got his hand on you. Self-control. Self-control is like a part of the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Hear that? I'll say it again. Self-control, part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you are walking the Holy Spirit, you will not fall out of control. Ever. And if you don't believe it, walk with Jesus through the Gospels. Even under violent situations, no matter what the situation, he was under control. You and I, same way. Ezekiel, the same way. He says, I went in bitterness, my soul churning inside me, angry because this is just wrong. But the Lord has hand upon me, strong. Verse 15 says, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river of Kibar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days, a week. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. He says this. After the Lord transported me, and I was just bothered. It bugged me. I was churning. I was a little upset. Went back to the city, which is where he was living, which is where the children of Israel are, in captivity, just north of Babylon there. He says, I went back and I just sat there among the people for about a week. Is that 7 days some kind of mystical number? Basically, he was overwhelmed. Just needed some time. The vision that he had just seen, being carried around by the angels, the Holy Spirit of the living God, the message that he was to deliver, I think he was overwhelmed. That's what he said. He was stunned. He was astonished. He needed some time simply to chew the cud, to meditate, to think about everything that had just gone on in his life, what's going on around him, what the message is, to prepare his heart for the task at hand. God gives him a little time. In 7 days, God speaks. He says, I'm going to set you on the wall as a watchman. You'll be the watchman. You will be responsible. If you do not warn the people, you will be held responsible for their suffering and their death. If you warn them and they don't listen, you will not be held responsible. So you've got a responsibility, Ezekiel. You've got to warn them. You've got to speak my word. If they listen, great. Because if they obey, they'll avoid the suffering and the death that's coming. If they don't listen, and you don't tell them, I will require that, their blood, at your hands. Now, here's my advice to any pastor
or Bible teacher, no matter how important, Sunday school teacher, because you're teaching the Bible to God's children, to any pastor, to anyone teaching, to any missionary, give God's people God's word. Don't settle for anything else. Give God's people God's word. Don't water it down. Don't skip parts of it. Don't make it abridged. In other words, unabridged, God's word. Not watered down, his entire word. I would hate to be, personally, after reading just this right here, in the place of a pastor who chooses to simply tell his people nice stories. Stories that make them cry, stories that make them laugh, stories that make them feel better about life. Those are nice, but they are not God's word. I would not want to be in the place of a pastor who chooses to make his people feel comfortable about themselves, which is what the American church seems to want to do anymore. We have what we call seeker-friendly churches now. We don't want to offend them. If you offend them, they won't come back. They're not getting God's word. They're getting a show, sometimes a three-ring circus, because you've got so much going on in the sanctuary. It's an absolute abomination, according to 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, 14, and 15. They're not getting the word of God. I've told you about my friend who was thrilled what the Holy Spirit was doing at his church. He said, "Oh man, I know you got your own church and you can't come, but man, it has been great the last 3 weeks. The Spirit has just taken control." He says, "The pastor has tried to get up and teach, and all 3 weeks he couldn't. The Spirit shut him down." I said, "You're telling me that the word of God for the last 3 weeks has not gone forth in your church? The Spirit wouldn't let it go." He goes, "Oh yeah, it's been great." I said, "You're nuts. That's crazy. The Spirit of the living God would want the word to go forth. You're confused." A pastor who, instead of giving out the word of God, has messages designed to make people like themselves, to make people feel happy all the time. A pastor who chooses to ignore God's word and make his church a Disneyland with all kinds of special groups, different events, different parties, rap sessions, group therapies, all kinds of gatherings. And on Sundays, they gather together to hear lots of great stories, lots of feel-good verses. They'll take them out of context and quote them. I don't want any part of it. Because I think God just said here to Ezekiel, "I'm setting you as a watchman." Bible teachers, that's what you've become. A watchman. And if you give them the warning, if you give them my word, and they choose to ignore it, then their blood is on them. But if I set you as a watchman, and you do not give them my word, you don't give them the warning, judgment is coming, then I will require it at your hand. You know, every one of us will stand before the judge one day, and I think it's soon. Every one of us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say I did nothing but your word. Maybe people didn't like my attitude. Maybe people didn't like my looks. Maybe everybody thought it could have been done different. But I can honestly say nothing but your word. Verse by verse, Mondays, Fridays, Sundays. That's what I do. If I speak at special events, which I try not to do very often, I have a few lately. If I do, I always make sure that they know that I just want to do the Bible. And of course, when I went to Africa, they said, "We want to speak on Calvary distinctives." I said, if it's not going to be offensive to you guys, I'd rather teach the Bible and throw in the Calvary distinctives as they come up. And so they let me teach the entire book of Galatians at the pastor's conference. So they had no problem with that. I mean, they were glad. That's fine. But I just want to be, that's what I do. And I can throw in stories to help people understand. I can throw in jokes to help people to get sick. I can do all those things. But the goal, the main thing, is God's word. I think that's what God just said to Ezekiel. That's the goal right there. You are a watchman on the wall. You've got to give them my word. You've got to go to the people and you've got to tell them. Whether they listen or not is up to them, but you need to do this. And I think we've missed it if we don't do that. See, the watchman, you remember, he had a very important job back in those cities in those days. It was a walled city. It was an important person. The watchman would stand upon the wall all night. He kept a vigil, kept a lookout for danger, kept a lookout for trouble for the enemy. He not only watched with a trained eye all through the dark night, but he listened with a trained ear. Because it's so dark out there, sometimes you couldn't see, but you could listen. And you would learn how to listen, and you would learn to look, and you would learn what you were listening for. Looking for and listening for approaching danger. And then you would warn the city. You warn the whole city. Ring bells, blow trumpets, make noise, and you get the whole city because there's danger. Modern day examples. Kind of a rough example would be our policemen of today. While you and I sleep with our bunny jammies tonight, they'll be out on the streets, going up and down the streets, listening. And I don't know if you know, but when policemen are trained to patrol, if they do it right, even in the dead of winter, they have their window down. So as you're driving slowly through neighborhoods, you hear, not only see. When you got bright lights and you're shining, you are listening as well as seeing. You're a watchman. You see, pastor, missionary, Sunday school teacher, Bible teacher of all sorts, you're a watchman. You're now, you are giving the word of God out. You're giving out the warnings. And whatever the word of God is, that's what people need to hear. What they do with it, notice God keeps saying, if they listen, great. If they don't listen, great. But I'm holding you responsible to tell them. Verse 20 says, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Even the righteous need to be warned. Even you and me, we belong to Jesus. We've been saved by grace through faith. Our righteousness is of the Lord. Even we need to be warned, don't we? Even we, you and I, need to be reminded. We read our Bibles. We talk about our Bibles together. We share the word. We need to be reminded because we want to make sure we're heading in the right direction. Verse 22. Almost done. The hand of the Lord was there upon me. And he said to me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will talk with you. Then I arose and went forth into the plain. That also, some of your versions may say valley, because that's what he's referring to. And behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. Once again, in worship and honor and praise of the Lord. Go out to the valley, meet with me there. He sees the glory of the Lord, falls down upon his face in worship. Verse 24, then the Spirit entered into me. Notice again, where God calls you, he strengthens you to do it. So he says, the Spirit entered in me, verse 24, set me upon my feet, and he spake with me and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thy house. Go home and shut yourself in. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. Spirit enters him, strengthens him, tells him, go home and shut yourself in. The idea isn't go home and never leave, but go home and refrain from open fellowship with people. As you read the rest of the verses, you'll see that. Ezekiel is acting out God's word. Ezekiel is doing skits. Ezekiel is doing drama here. You're going to see him do many of these. Jeremiah did one or two. I know many of you hate those. Probably many of the Jewish people hate them. But they're very effective because you can see what he means by what he's doing. Ezekiel was showing that he was bound from moving in and out around the people because they were in opposition to the message of God. That's what he was showing them. It's just a little skit so that they could see him acting out. Figuratively, what we read here is he was tied up. What that means is they were not listening
to God. They were not interested in the Word of God, and it was binding them up. It was hurting them. They weren't free because of it. Make sense? Simple little skit. If you could have just watched Ezekiel act it out, you'd have gone, oh yeah, message is perfectly clear. Of course, then you're going to get mad at him because it's offensive to you, you know, but that's okay. Verse 26, and I will make your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, unable to speak, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. He mentions it again. But when I speak with you, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. So as he's acting out his skits, as he's acting out so that they can see their own behavior, how they're really causing their own bondage, how they're really causing their own separation by turning their backs on God. As he's living that out, God says there'll be times when you won't be able to speak as a sign to this rebellious people. Basically, God's word says, I want you to speak when I speak. I want you to remain silent when I remain silent. He was to share God's word with these people as God spoke to him. And he says, you will say this, thus saith the Lord. And then he makes the statement that he's been saying throughout the chapter, throughout the last two chapters. Whoever will listen, literally, whoever chooses to listen, let that person listen. Whoever chooses not to listen, let that person not listen. Notice, everyone, it's all basically up to you, isn't it? Ezekiel, when I send you, when I speak, you go speak it. Whoever listens, let them listen. Whoever won't, let them not listen. God is leaving it up to his children. He's made us, created us with a free will. You have got a choice. This can really change your life, it can change my life, or it can just be another Bible study. It can really make a difference and you study God's word and want it to get into your heart, or it can make no difference at all. Basically, God will allow you, just as he allowed these people, God will allow us to reject his word if we choose to do so. The one who was open to God's word, God said, would listen to Ezekiel. The one who was not open to God's word would not listen to Ezekiel. Basically, he's saying, when I speak, you speak. When I remain silent, you remain silent. If they will listen to you, they are listening to me. If they won't listen to you, they're not listening to me. Same thing. And you will find that God hasn't changed. And as you go into the New Testament, many times Jesus will say the same, almost the same words. He will say, he who hears, let him hear. Whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear. He who chooses to listen, let him listen. Notice Jesus says that a few times throughout his ministry. Even the resurrected Jesus Christ there in the book of Revelation. Whosoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Right? It's always up to you. God is there, but he's not going to beat you up and make you. I know some people want that. I wish God would just slap me down and make me listen. No, you know, Jesus in Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You've got to open the door. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. You've got a choice to make. Do you want Jesus in your life or not? We're told, New Age movement is great with this teaching, that all people are born with that spark of divinity, with God already within. Jesus destroyed that teaching by simply saying, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in. I'm not in there now, but I'd love to come in. And anyone who opens the door, I will come in. I would not turn anyone away. God's word is important. God's word is important to God. It should be important to us. You and I, if we're called and given a responsibility by God, whether it's a one-day job or a one-week job or a lifetime assignment, notice, just like Ezekiel, when God gives us the calling, when he gives us the job, when he gives us the assignment, he gives us what we need to finish the job, to do the job. He strengthens us. He encourages us. He makes our heads hard. He gives us that determination. Whatever is needed, you just seek the Lord, and he'll give that to you. Let's bow our heads together.